You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Bummer to start a segment this way, but we wanted to pay our respects collectively to Jason Jenkins and his family. Jason was a senior vice president over at the Miami Dolphins, had been in the market, had climbed within the organization over the course of several years. And you could see from all the tributes, both on the Dolphins broadcast and Mike McDaniel's words after the game and from a lot of people that worked in the media, how truly loved Jason was. Immensely respected, an incredibly kind man at a position where you don't run into that often. It's a weird dynamic sometimes with media folks and media relations people, and someone being kind in that position can really go a long way. And I know for me personally, a lot of my friends in the industry share this experience in getting to know Jason, working with him. He was especially kind to people just making their way in the business, people that were unsure of themselves, people that weren't very confident, could be easily intimidated. And usually, as you climb, you'll run into people that may use that against you. Jason was extra kind to those young ones that were just trying to find their way, and he was a guiding hand. And he passed away tragically over the weekend, right before the Dolphins game, and it hit everybody like a ton of bricks. Chris, I know you have known Jason for quite some time too, and you know him pretty well. You're the one that actually delivered the news to me, and like all the wind left my body once I heard that devastating news, because he was just so immensely respected and so incredibly kind and just so young. This is a very tragic thing that we're dealing with down here locally.
Yeah, and in some ways I sort of feel bad in a weird way for people that heard this immense outpouring. Is there, like, I imagine they want to feel something like everyone in this very public sphere does as well, but he's just one of those people behind the scenes that no fan would ever deal with. And yeah, maybe you felt a certain kind of way about the Dolphins, have been in the community, and you might have seen his face in pictures, but most people don't have an experience with this man. But everyone who did, and like you said, it's incredibly startling for a PR person to be this level of popular, because they kind of always have to be the bad guy. They have to be the bad guy that tells you that your interview request was denied, or the coach doesn't want to reveal this information and all that. And PR people can sometimes be very unpopular as a result. But he just completely overwhelmed it with kindness. And you mentioned the stories of people getting into the industry and not having known a lot. And I was very much in that same sphere when I was starting in local radio in Miami. I went to go cover the Dolphins because that's one of the jobs that kind of lower level employees do. You go and get sound and all that. And I actually, I remember it as being around the time that he took over full time as head of the PR department. There was this guy, I believe his name is Harvey Green, who ran that department for decades when Don Shula was in charge all the way through until the mid 2010s. And when I started covering the team was around the time that he took over, and he made me feel like I was important as the columnist for the Miami Herald or local TV reporters or national reporters. Recently, Jessica and I had an experience with him where we were covering the Miami Grand Prix, and I kind of reached out to the Dolphins because they're running the event, and he made me feel as important as international broadcasters that were going to be involved with the event. It was just, he was such a nice man, and I don't think it can be underestimated for everyone that dealt with him, like how difficult this was to process. Because it was funny, I talked to you and you were like, I was just talking with him. I talked to somebody else and he was like, I was just talking to him. Everyone had just spoken to Jason Jenkins because he was that level of nice and communicative, and we all dealt with him. And it's so bizarre that the next time I go to a Dolphins thing or another Grand Prix that you don't see his smiling face. He was so kind. Give me a hug. He's the only person that every time I see him, he hugs me. And it was so hard. And I imagine it was hard, like, if you're a Dolphins fan watching the postgame press conference, you're like, why is Mike McDaniel about to break down talking about the, like, this person I've never heard of in the Dolphins organization? But it's because he meant so much to so many people.
Yeah. I mean, I would echo the same stuff. Like, the way he treated me the few times that I was there alone, and he walked me around the first time for like 25 minutes. Like, the way he could get an intern to do that for me, but it was just like it was just so incredibly nice, and it was just terrible, man.
Yeah, he was the person that we worked through over at the Dolphins, and he was always that person for me. They had different regimes in place that had varying media policies, and he was here for pretty much all the ones. And let me tell you, it wasn't easy to get media access during the Parcells years, but he would always get back to you and explain exactly what was going on. And it's so commonplace, you don't even think, you don't bat an eye at someone just ghosting you at that position. If it wasn't no, if there was something that made waves over there, he'd talk it out through you, he'd talk it out with you, and you'd get better as a result of it. He wanted everybody to be on top of it. He understood that everybody had a job to do, and he didn't want to stand in the way of that. And if he couldn't necessarily give you the access, he could give you an answer. And it was no surprise that he would climb throughout that organization and lead community affairs. And look, the Dolphins franchise, they've had a lot of negative headlines recently, especially, remember, the seeds of the Kaepernick story kind of started down here. He made sure that he got out in the community, and the Dolphins were very, very active, and he championed so many causes, both with equality on the racial side, actually getting out there in the community. He would put his hands in the dirt, to use a football cliche, and he would lead the front lines, and he was an absolute rock star for that organization. It was no surprise that he touched Mike McDaniel's life in that way, so in such a brief tenure, because he was the point person, and he was a point person for what became one of the biggest athletic complexes on the planet. If I had an F1 question, he was the kind of guy that if something happened to a credential or I needed anything, we were out there shooting for tennis when the tennis was in town, and I would always work through Jason Jenkins because I knew he had my best interest at heart, and he was the guy to go to there. And he was so spectacular at his job, but I should say he was spectacular at being a person. He was incredibly
just kind, right?
Just, I mean, the kindest individual you'd ever want to meet at a position, like I said, that you don't necessarily, it really sticks out because it's tough. You're the gatekeeper for so many folks. And he went over and above just the call of duty of being a human. He was that caring, that loving, that respected. And it's truly, my heart breaks so much for his family. He was such a young man, 47 years old. And he had three kids, and he leaves a wife as well. And my heart absolutely breaks for what she's going through, but also my heart breaks for his coworkers over at the Miami Dolphins organization, because, and it's a tight knit fraternity of just media people that would deal with him, but also media relations folks from other franchises in the market, and they all had the same great things to say about Jason Jenkins. And it's just a truly devastating, tragic loss. Hard to make sense of it. Right now, we're all kind of looking for answers, and you wonder how someone so good can just be taken away like that with no real reason behind it at the moment. We're all struggling for answers. I know we're going to plan on probably going to the service, and I really hope that I don't know if there's news items out there or articles. I know that some local media people have been posting their own interactions over the years with Jason Jenkins, and take a moment to look up on that to give you some insight on just how fundamentally decent this person was, how he was using his position of power in that Dolphins organization to not just make individuals better, but also the community better. He spearheaded so many of their charitable efforts, and they were better for him being there. And we're really sad as a show. We're really heartbroken individually. He was a good friend to all of us. I'd consider him a friend. Anybody that kind of met him would off the bat feel like they were friends with him. And that was the kind of guy that we're talking about here in Jason Jenkins. And I once again would like to send our thoughts and prayers over to his family that have been left behind. There's just a gaping hole over there in that organization. And this is going to take quite a while for everybody to kind of feel their way through this one, because he was that good a person. So rest in peace to Jason Jenkins. We admire you. We respect you. You're a great friend to all of us, and we're worse off without you here.
Don Lebatard.
Jess, you can't talk about double-digit national titles when every single call of you winning the national title sounds like this. Oh, there's Chubby Jacka running down the sideline. if the audio... Yeah,
that's no, not true.
Yeah, and there's a World War II veteran pitching into another white guy, and he avoids another white guy. Oh, my God, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, have done it again for the eighth time, only paying white people.
Stugatz.
Chubby Jacka.
I'm sorry.
He's black.
He's black, and I was like, what's a white name? Chubby Checker. I picked a black. I'm sorry, man. I'm improv in here. It's a pretty cool riff.
Chubby Checker running down the side.
He spells it differently. All right. His name is Chubby. Maybe you didn't hear me correctly. His name is Chubby Checkers. There's an S at the end.
I feel like that should be the largest of fines.
Yeah, Chubby. And it's Chubby Checker. It sounds like a college football name.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I will admit that late in this draft, but I feel like I do this in every draft, I'm like, damn, there's a lot of receivers still available. But that's every year.
There were so many receivers. So for those that are... I was totally wrong on what Tony told me to do for the draft. He told me, just take all the wide receivers.
Correct.
And I understood, like,
you can wait on wide receivers
because there's so many.
No.
There's so many receivers.
So there's a massive run on wide receivers. I've been in a bunch of drafts where all of a sudden Justin Jefferson pops up at 2. Cooper Kupp is getting taken early. Stephon Diggs.
Top 3 in my league.
Right. Like, he should, by the way. But what I was trying to tell you is in a PPR... And it depends on how many flexes or how many starting wide receivers you have. Like, you want to slam wide receivers. Depends on your build, right? Do you want to do hero RB where you take one really good running back and then empty out the clip on receivers? Do you want to go zero RB where you fill in on back end guys? Like, it all depends on your strategy. You just went triple running back, quarterback,
yeah,
and then Gabe Davis and Lazard are your starting wideouts.
No.
I have a problem.
No. Lazard isn't my wide receiver one. He may be Green Bay's wide receiver one, mm-hmm. but he's not mine. I also have Tony from
Kadarius Tony, right.
from the Giants. Mahomes is my quarterback, and I figure someone's going to pick up the production that Tyreek Hill left behind.
But you didn't pick Juju.
I didn't take Juju. I'm not high on Juju.
I think
it's going to be Mecole Hardman.
A lot of people are high on Juju right now.
Like, I got a guy with that in that offense that I took just because I wanted. I read it. Yeah,
Sky Moore's good.
Yeah, he went.
But he's also like down the depth chart.
Isn't MVS like the speedy guy?
Yeah,
and they're losing the speed with Tyreek.
Correct, but they're still going to play two high safeties on him though.
Okay, but is Juju going to be splitting out wide or is he going to be a slot guy because he was a slot guy in Pittsburgh?
I think he's going to be doing both, but I think he's going to be primarily in the slot.
You think he's wide receiver one in Kansas City?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Well, what wide receiver one is Kelce? Right? Like,
yeah,
he's wide receiver one.
This is a good
but
point.
Wide receiver two is going to be Juju.
Okay. I was so down on Juju from what happened. And
me too.
It was a byproduct of...
But what happened? He was hurt like most of last season.
And Ben was horrible.
But even when he wasn't hurt, he just wasn't... What happened was...
Good when he wasn't hurt, though.
I think Pittsburgh, and you're the Steelers fan, what I'm doing with Juju was he was the third best receiver on that team.
No, I don't think that's true.
You think...
It was more scheme than anything else,
Jess.
Right? They used him more in the running game than anything.
Last season?
Jess, who
last
are you taking, Claypool or Juju?
Juju.
I'm taking Juju over Claypool.
Wait, last year or this year?
Last year, Juju was hurt for most
of
the season.
You're taking an SC guy over a Notre Dame guy?
Juju has more experience. I think Claypool has higher upside, which is why I think they kept Claypool and they're keeping him and they got rid of Juju.
And they're playing him where?
They're playing him in the slot.
Like, which is massive because he's 6'4",
and
240
pounds. I think he's better in the slot as, like, a deep receiver.
Of course.
Anyway. He looks better that way. But I don't know. I think Juju's really good.
All right, so I'm going to have to admit that I'm wrong.
I mean, the thing is that he hasn't been that guy since 2018.
Yeah, but
if you look at him statistically,
he hasn't been able to throw the ball more than 10 yards.
Exactly.
Yeah, but wouldn't that benefit someone in the slot?
No, it benefited Deontay Johnson because he caught 19 passes a game because he would just run 7-yard in routes.
Well, because Deontay Johnson's also better than Juju Smith-Schuster.
Well, yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I think that's what I thought you were going to ask me, Deontay Johnson or Juju Smith-Schuster.
Well, because I thought Claypool was easy.
I would say Deontay Johnson, Juju, Claypool. But Claypool has better upside, I think, moving forward if he plays well.
If he plays in the slot.
I'm just wholly wrong on Juju Smith-Schuster. He can be the guy that he was in 2018 and then often.
I think he was really good.
It's his quarterback, right? It's dependent on his quarterback. His quarterback couldn't throw, and now his quarterback can throw.
It's so difficult to figure out the context of those receivers from a fantasy point of view because even Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who is meant to bring... You know, something, but like in Green Bay, he was just sort of okay. Like, he wasn't a spectacular receiver.
He was a take the top off the defense guy.
And he's playing with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And so you have that paired against, there's like these four receivers that could be the big guy in Kansas City. And we know that their offense will be fine because they improved a ton on the offensive line, of a really good offensive line. So we know that that offense is going to generally be okay, but you don't know which one of them individually is going to be the one that actually gets the production.
Here's why I'm more bullish on MVS in Kansas City than I was in Green Bay. Yes, he was take the top off the defense guy. We all know the first read for Aaron Rodgers, to a detriment, by the way, if you watch the San Francisco playoff game. But Aaron Rodgers, sneaky, doesn't take a lot of chances.
No.
A pretty conservative quarterback. And if he's going to be taking the top off the defense in Kansas City, he's got a quarterback that's going to throw it there. I don't think Patrick Mahomes lost at AFC Championship game, in his own words, by the way. This is not, I don't want the 2-and-on smoke that fan base is getting right now. But he said that he just gets too greedy sometimes. If he sees MVS open, he's going to throw him the ball deep. And that's not always the case in Green Bay.
And MVS being the size and speed combination, to my knowledge, I don't think that Mahomes has had somebody of that build as a wide receiver, right? Like Tyreek Hill.
They always have Hardman. No one's got the build that Tyreek Hill has.
Right, but they have like these more diminutive wide receivers, DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah, they're all
like,
thinner.
Their big guy was Kelsey.
Sammy
was
Watkins?
It. Yeah, but he was hurt.
Josh Gordon was getting reps for that team.
Yeah.
Because he had such a big body, a big frame for them.
This year, they've just kind of decided, we believe in what our offense is. We're not going to invest in receivers. We're going to invest in offensive line and running game a little bit. We have Kelsey, and we're just going to try and get these guys to come through.
The running game is interesting.
Mahomes can just produce passing game by virtue of how good he is.
The running game is interesting. No, I think Rojo's going to get cut. I don't think he's going to be on the team.
So all the buzz from the beat writers is that Rojo is going to be running back.
The odd man out.
It's Ronald Jones for the audience.
And finally unseat Edwards-Helaire, who I actually don't think is that bad. And they just
didn't
use
him right.
They
don't
use him right. He's falling in drafts.
Yeah, because
big time. I got him in the 8th round.
He got hurt last year, but if you watch their offense, the problem was they just wouldn't. He would run big chunk plays in that AFC Championship game. Giving the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a good play. It just didn't do it. He
was
running.
Here's a weird thing, Mike.
He was running at like 4.5 yards a clip. If they just kept doing that, they win that game.
He was one of the greatest running back catching passes out of the backfield at LSU. And what do they not do? They do not throw the ball to running backs, at least the way that they used to with Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't throw it to him.
Correct, which is the weird part of what's happening.
But they favored other players in their own backfield.
Like Jerick McKinnon is now their guy catching passes. Who,
their third down back was Darrell Williams, who is now in like Arizona.
Right, right. But Rojo, I think, is going to be cut. They love Isaiah Pacheco, who's screaming up draft boards for some reason, right? Preseason hype. But the fact that they don't use Clyde in the way that he probably should be used is catching passes out of the backfield and more of a Kareem Hunt role than, let's say, more of, Jamal Charles' role. Like, they need to use him better. That's another factor.
I'm easing my way into this NFL season. And so I was reading.
Easing, you said?
Yeah, I'm easing my way.
Oh, you need to dive in, buddy.
Well, I mean, tonight's my fantasy draft, so I'm going to, like,
take off your clothes. Take off your clothes and dive in.
Jump on
in. Yeah,
right
yeah.
Now,
take your pants off.
Cannonball!
You're drawing a lukewarm bath. You're putting a bath bomb in it.
Yes.
You lit a few candles.
You like a lukewarm bath?
Slowly easing your way in.
No, I like a hot bath. Yeah.
Hot bath, right?
You like a good soak?
I do like a good soak.
Yeah, you let the water run. Yeah. Do you put your hand under the faucet, or do you scoop it up like while it's in the tub, while it's filling up?
Hmm.
No, I don't do much once I'm in. Once I'm in, it's just sort of
bath bombs
you let it
here
run,
hanging out.
Or do you sit in there while it fills up?
No. I let it run. I start it, and then I go walk in dead.
I like
and
the whole
do
experience.
Other stuff.
I
bath
like
bombs overrated.
I've never done a bath bomb.
They're very chalky.
But they're pretty.
Yeah, they're just like
chalky.
How many bath bombs have you done?
I have like one for my kids' ones.
No, but you.
zero. Oh. But I always use it.
So then how can you say they're overrated?
I give them to my daughter because she wants them in her bath. And these packages, they're hard to open. They're very chalky. It makes a mess all over the floor when I'm trying to open up this packaging.
Isn't it a ball, though?
But
not the ones I've got.
There are ones that there's different kinds, Tony, of bath bombs.
I also don't. I've never been in a bath bomb, so I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
When's the last time you took a bath?
God, maybe
by myself a bath
15 years like ago, when 20 years ago. I don't know.
Really? I've taken two baths like I said, by in myself. The last year.
Kiss me,
Tony. It was when my daughter and wife were out of the house. I was by myself. I drew myself a bath.
Ooh, a little mic time.
A little me time. And I just put
such a funny visual. Yeah. Like, imagine just walking
And you're really tall, like I am. So it's hard to get in the bath.
I've got your feet up in the air up against the wall.
Yes.
I've got my hair in a towel. Just sitting at the edge of
listening to Sade.
Yeah. Oh, brother, you better believe it.
You have the towel across your body right here.
I got the Sonos in there, and it's always like in the middle of the afternoon, and I'm watching golf. I'm just sitting in the tub, watching golf, cracking open a tub Miller Lite, and just having the time of my life. I'm in that tub for like 3 hours. Yeah, that's me time.
By the end of that, that's got to be.
I am so pruny.
You're pruny. Yeah,
so pruny. Pruny. But it's like shock. Like I put my body through it. It's like cold now. Oh, hot now. It's a constant battle. All 3 hours, water levels are falling, rising.
Mm.
I cycle the water in and out.
Water's murky at this point.
Oh, yeah. But no, I'm changing it out. Anytime it gets murky, that's a sign to me that we need to replace some of the water. Yeah.
But you're easing into the season though, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You're
I've drawn the tub.
The tub
you just started to fill up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just twisted the drain so that the water will hold, and the water is I'd say about like 20% full right now.
Really?
But I'm ramping
that mean
up
for you.
You're sticking a big toe in.
Yeah, like what does that mean?
That means I have in my podcast app. I have folders that separate all the different podcasts I listen to. So I have my football folder.
Mm-hmm.
I've just started to go in there and just like, I'll just fire up, Fantasy Focus and the Ringer NFL show and just a bunch of football shows or just like the Athletic football show. Just trying to cram information in there to know stuff about teams.
Seems a little late, by the way.
Go off, King.
Yeah. You should have done this like in June. Start drawing baths.
Why?
Start drawing baths in June.
Is too early.
No, June
is
not too early.
Way too early.
2 weeks ago, at least.
Here's what I've realized, though. Is that really the whole key to NFL analysis is to just make a decision about something based off no new information.
Hmm.
Since
100%,
since
yes.
January and now, I'm just going to decide I'm a Tua guy now. And I'm just going to go all or you know what? Arizona's playoff loss was enough. I'm completely
That's
out of the Cardinals.
That's what Tony's doing with Juju. Like he's just decided.
Yeah, I was off on Juju.
No information.
Now I'm back.
There's no new information.
You guys are shaping my opinion. I'm going to walk it back. I think Juju's going to be good now.
Attaboy.
I'm sorry. I was wrong.
I don't. I think he's going to have very pedestrian numbers.
What is pedestrian?
I think Sky Moore's the guy.
I mean,
Whoa!
I don't. Hey, look, I don't doubt
Not
that.
The guy. I'm
they
saying I think he's going
to
be productive.
Feature him though.
Said he was the
Do you think
guy.
He's going to be a dude or the guy?
I Ooh. Love a good third receiver on a great offense. Every year, that's who I pick as like the guy. I
Have
think
you ever
is
won?
Be good. Yeah.
Okay.
Like a lot.
Recently?
Really?
Yes.
Like Tony is having a go at
no,
you.
No,
here.
I'm asking
that,
because
that's your way
my
of big saying, I think you're secretly shitty at fantasy football.
How many times have
I'm
you won?
Asking.
My big money league that I'm actually not, I'm moving on from it because a lot of politics. We don't need to get into it.
Controversy?
Not a big fan of the league anymore, but I've been in it like 10 years. I think me and my partner won 3 or 4 times.
I do kind of want to get into it. Damn you,
just the guy who runs the league. Not a big fan of him.
Hmm.
It's Matt Gaetz.
Hey, yo.
I'm in because I'm in that league.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed. Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Yeah!
Give me a hug.
Stan Gandhi.
S-V-G.
Oh, Stan Gandhi. Oh, Stan Gandhi. Oh, Stan Gandhi. Oh, Stan Gandhi.
Look at him.
Oh, S-V-G.
S-V-G. SVG! SVG! SVG!
Look at him. Look how much happier he is now that he's not coaching. Look at him. Look, he can
everybody
smile.
Stan Van Gundy! Come on now.
Stand to the left.
Oh, stand to the right. Now stand one time.
Crisscross.
That.
Crisscross.
That. Stan Van Gundy, y'all.
It's enough. That is enough. Stan, we are very, very happy. Very happy to have you back. We want your opinions on all things. I texted him last night. I'm like, are you ready to come back with some nuggets, unretire him? He's like, no.
No, it's too much work. See, the nuggets now that I come up with is when I'm getting ready for a game, I come across something and then I'll like tweet it out. But to actually have to go do that work today, too much.
One Stan Van Gundy. There's only one Stan Van Gundy. One Stan Van Gundy. There's only one Stan Van Gundy.
What have you learned so far this season, Stan? Have you learned anything? Do you feel like there are some wisdoms you can give us?
About the NBA?
About teams, somebody that you've seen, yeah. some players that have surprised you, somebody whose defense is, just some things that you've seen that you can make some pretty firm calculations on.
Well, I think that the three best teams and maybe the only three really good teams right now are in the West, Golden State, Phoenix, and Utah. But then I think when you get past the top teams in each division, I think what's changed is the East is stronger than the West is when you get beyond those three teams. But to me, those are the only three really good teams. Brooklyn has the potential to be good. So does Milwaukee. So does Miami. Yeah, that's it to me, those seven.
Very exciting. We're all very happy to have him. Happy to have Stan Van Gundy.
I think he's embarrassed.
back. He is at this point. Can you explain to us, Stan, because you understand what we're witnessing, and I want you to explain to us with basketball perspective and passion how Steph Curry has taken the boundaries of what you thought were human limits on shooting and extended them to a place that you've never seen before.
Well, I think he has done that. I mean, the two things that he has done that really changed the game is his ability to shoot the three off the dribble, you know, which that really was a shot as recently as probably 6 or 7 years ago that was just not a very good shot. In fact, a lot of coaches really didn't want guys shooting a lot of threes off the dribble because the percentage was low. Steph Curry changed all that. And then obviously the distance from which he can shoot at. I mean, it's he and Lillard are about the two that can shoot it from there. But I think even more than what Steph has done himself is how he's changed it for other guys. And so now we've got Dame Lillard and Trae Young and, you know, Luka shooting threes off the dribble. I mean, the game has changed, and that part of it, those type of three pointers, rather than just sort of an inside out pass to a spot up three, has changed the game. Not, you know, and Steph's the guy who started all of that.
I want to stand with you on a mountain. I want to stand with you in the sea. I want to stand like this forever. It's Stan Van Gundy.
Stan, is mayonnaise disgusting?
Oh, no. I saw that.
What?
That is the number one condiment. Like, if you can only have one condiment and all the others are going to disappear from earth, and there will be no other condiment, you got to go with mayonnaise.
What? Hell yeah.
He's right.
Gotta go with mayonnaise. Two Americas.
It's your number one condiment.
It works on a turkey sub, on a roast beef sub, on all cold cuts.
It works by itself.
Burger. It works by itself. Chris
tomato
is right.
Sandwich. Yeah.
Well, yes, and here's the thing, little known. Now, I will by choice put mustard on a hot dog, but mayonnaise works on a hot dog, too.
Stan Van Gundy,
ba-ra-ba-bum-bum. Stan, have you arrived at a place where you're concerned about Zion Williamson and his ability to stay healthy?
Well, I mean, you have to be. Look, I think we sort of went through it with a much smaller guy in Derrick Rose earlier in his career. I think these guys who are super explosive put strains on their body that are tough for their body to absorb. Look, we see it with, you know, in Major League Baseball, we've got all these guys throwing 100 miles an hour now. And the one thing you know for sure is that every one of those guys is going to have surgery at some point in their career. Nobody's going to actually stay healthy. I just think people have become so strong and so explosive athletically that their bodies can't deal with it. And I think, you know, Zion's a big guy and he's super explosive. And every time he lands, it's stress on his body. So I think he'll get back healthy and play well. But yeah, of course, I've got concerns about it.
Deck the halls with Stan Van Gundy. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Chris, do you want to place in front of Stan Van Gundy the parking dilemma that you had this week to see how Stan deals with holiday, parking lot kerfuffles?
All right, Stan, you're walking to your car in a crowded mall parking lot during the holiday season. And as you're walking there, you see two cars kind of get like eye you at the same time. They put their blinkers on at the exact same time. Do you have any responsibility to say, no, this car gets it or this car gets it? Or do you just, clap your hands, get in the car, and they can fight how they will?
Well, see, now if they're coming from opposite directions, what's going to happen is whichever way you back out.
That's right.
You're going to, whether you consciously want to decide who gets the spot or not, yeah. You're going to decide because of the way you choose to back out. And so my guess is, the car that doesn't get the spot's going to be pissed at you either way. So,
but we're asking you what you do, okay? You have someone following you from the mall to your car. You have gotten in your car, and as you get into your car, that person is waiting behind you for 10 minutes, and now someone pulls in on the other side. What are you doing?
Well, I'm going to, a lot of times, you're angled in, so it doesn't, it doesn't matter. But if we're, talking square parking spaces where they can come either side, I'm going to make sure if I've got a real imbalance on the level of automobile there, like if somebody's driving a Mercedes or a BMW and somebody else has got like my Chevy Tahoe, I'm going to make damn sure the Chevy Tahoe gets the parking space.
So you're
and the guy with the Beamer can go on his own and try to find his own.
I love that strategy.
I don't have that kind of imbalance, I'm going to try to figure it out. Age of the driver. I'm going to let a woman in before a man. I'm going to let an older person in before a younger person. I'm going to try to have a sense of
it's a lot of
justice.
Work.
Engaging in class warfare, Stan Van Gundy.
I can't believe the amount of justice that he is dispensing with every decision. And I did not know whether that was hatred of the rich or pitying of the poor that you were doing with your
class. I wouldn't say, for the most part, I would say this. The poor aren't out driving their cars to shop at the mall. So we're not dealing with poor. So we're dealing with the fairly well off compared to more well off, I would say, is more the comparison.
Stan, you're rich.
You're by your own standard, your car and you are getting bumped out of that parking spot.
Well, not my car because I'm in the Chevy Tahoe. If they knew who I was, yes, I would get bumped out, perhaps. But if they just looked at the car, no, I'm not driving around in the Beamer or the Mercedes, so I wouldn't get bumped out.
Stan Van Gundy, 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 Stan Van Gundy,
Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van
Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Stan Van the great ones, when they're down,
yeah,
and people are speaking bad about them, they respond. Yeah. And they just get here. They just get here.
I can't get no Stan Van Gundy. I can't get no Stan Van Gundy.
Because I tried.
And I tried.
And I tried.
And I tried.
Stan Van Gundy.
election. I can't get no.
It's so hard to say goodbye to SVG.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.